to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
How'd you like that? We'll miss May I. I totally dig those guys. Interviewed them back in the day. Very cool guys, man. And it's great to hear that they're still doing music and doing it well. They got that really good mellow death thing going on with the, I think the bass player. He sings clean. And then you got Eli screaming his fucking balls off over there. You know what I'm saying? Hey, welcome to the Rockman Show. It's good to talk to everyone again. We're on a streak. We had a couple of interviews, a couple of GNR shows, and tonight you got me. It's just me tonight. But there's a lot going on, so there will be more Genghis and Rockman shows coming in the future. So, don't get your panties in a wad over there.
It's fucking bullshit.
Why is it bullshit?
Because it should be the Rockman and John Show.
There is no such thing as the Rockman and John Show. That's not going to happen. We all know this. Nobody wants this. Nobody's clamoring for this.
You see what, dude, motherfucker?
Dude, what's with the attitude over there?
You know it. You know it's brewing, motherfucker.
I mean, you're kind of fucking scaring me over there.
Really?
No, not really. I'm just fucking with you. Anyway, guys, a lot going on. First order of business tonight. I want to talk about a show I just went to. And I've talked about this a lot on the show where I'm not as into the older bands as I was, you know, of course, 20 years ago when, you know, they were in their heyday and stuff like that. And a lot of these bands have had a lot of changes over the years. But there's one little band that the Metal Munchkin and I really enjoy seeing live. And we checked them out, it's probably been 5-10 years ago. It was Warrant with the Robert Mason on vocals. And I'm a big Mason guy, loved him from the Lynch Mob stuff, Big Cock stuff. Guy's a phenomenal vocalist and a great frontman as well. And he's probably one of the only guys that could come up there and fill in for Janie Lane and kill the songs like Janie did when he was healthy and all that jazz, so. Anyway, we decided, even though they were overpriced, decided to plunk down some coin to go see Warrant. But who opened the show was Firehouse and, unfortunately, Lita Ford. I think I talked about this, you know, a few shows back. But the show's happened now, happened last weekend. And I wanted to do a quick recap before I jump into some other stuff tonight. So the opener was Firehouse. I'm not sure who's left in that band from the original lineup. But the vocalist, CJ Snare, he had passed away, I want to say a couple years back. And I guess I want to say that they were still touring and stuff. But it's one of those bands that fell off my radar. So I'm not sure if they were still putting out new music or they were kind of doing the Warrant thing where it's like, hey, we're gonna, you know, just go tour. So anyway, let's look at this thing. The band members, there's a new guy. So CJ actually passed away in 2024. So I was right there and was a member of the band from 87 to 2024. As of now, it looks like there are two guys from the original lineup. Bill Leverty on guitar. And it was so funny. I saw him in, I'll tell you about this venue in a bit. But looking at him from afar, I was like, fuck. You know, it looked like a young kid. So he's held up well. He's had a hat, sunglasses on, shorter hair and stuff like that. So it wasn't, you know, the way he looked back in the day. A lot of these guys do trim their hair back and you know, you don't want that anymore over, you know, after some time, I guess. And a guy named Michael Foster is on drums. He's an original member as well. So bass player Alan McKenzie, not sure who he is. He looked like an older guy. I thought he was one of the original guys. And then they have the new vocalist, a guy named Nate Peck. So he's been in the band since 24. Did some subbing in 23, I guess when CJ was having problems. I gotta say, they came out, they did a pretty good job. So I tell you what, before we move on from Firehouse, let's play a classic. How about All She Wrote? Let's do it. Like me some Firehouse. Very cool band. Good little edge. A lot of melody. And CJ had a great voice. And I guess, hey, the new guy, he did a good job. A little pitchy in points. But he looked a lot younger than the rest of the guys in the band. With the exception of Bill Leverty, which I thought he was a kid. So, what do I know? Before we get into the next deck, I just want to talk a little bit about this venue. And it's, I don't know, it's a new trend where these places think that they can throw concerts, but they're not really set up for it. So the place that Metal Munchkin and I went to see the show is on the west side of Houston. It's an area called Katy. So they got this, like, it's one of these, like, things, it's like a Top Golf, but it's for, like, baseball. So it's called Home Run Dugout. So it's one of these things where you, I guess there's, like, a baseball, and you hit it into, like a screen or whatever, and then it shows that you hit a home run or base hit or whatever. I didn't do that. You know, we just went for the show. I was like, ah, cool concept, could be fun, but I haven't done it, so I can't judge that. So I get there, and I'm looking at this venue, and it reminds me of this venue I went to in Dallas with my friend Lee called the Lava Cantina. So Lava Cantina was one of these things where it's like a Mexican restaurant, decent little bar, and then an open area outside where they had a stage set up. It was very well put together, in my opinion. I was pretty impressed. I was like, ah, I like this. But Home Run Dugout, a little different situation. It's all indoor, this batting bullshit. I call it bullshit. And then there's, I'm looking for the restaurant. So I'll tell them on a Munchkin. Before we went to the show, I got to have a good beer. So we go to one of my favorite places to grab a good beer. Had a beer or so there, and then we headed off to Katie, and we get to Katie, and we start seeing this line. There's this long line. So at that point, it's already a little bit unorganized. I'm like, there were two sections at this place. There's the VIPs, where I think you pay for a table in the luxury of sitting on the lawn, or you could stand up for GA and still get food, still get drinks. So I said to the kid, I said, let's just eat there. You know, we looked at the menu, it looked okay. And I say, it's pub food, whatever. So we'll get something to eat. And, you know, we're not looking for a 4-star meal or 5-star meal. So we get in there. And like I said, we're in this line. And we apparently are in the VIP line. GA line's moving like nobody's business, like running water. And I was like, fuck, there were no signs. We wasted 10 minutes. In this bullshit VIP line, where I don't know why you're waiting in a line that long, unless you're people are fucked up, they can't pull out their tickets. But all you gotta do is get a wristband to say, "Hey, I'm privileged. I paid $800 for a table, so you could bring me food and drinks, and I'm a little bit closer to the band." To me, not a deal. Not a deal at all. $200 to sit in a fucking chair, and you've got to make sure you got four people, or you're out $800 for Firehouse, Lita Ford, and Warren. Sorry. No thanks. GA's fine. And GA was fucking high priced, too. So again, I don't know if this is the venue or this is the band saying, hey, we were big in the day, so we can charge $70 a ticket. I'm like, guys, that ship sailed. It sailed. But part of the draw for me to go to this too, other than the kid and I really enjoy seeing Warren together, was the poster said, celebrating 35 years of Cherry Pie. So I didn't plunk down the $70. I waited for some sort of special code. I'm like, okay, I got them for $50 with bullshit fees and all that. So not as bad. So $100, daddy-daughter date at a concert. So red flag number one was a VIP line. Red flag two was we went up to the bar and the beer tap list was shit. The can selection was shit. And then I find out, I'm like, hey, let me try this IPA. And the guy's like, you can't. I'm like, what do you mean it can't? Is it the keg out or what's going on? He goes, well, we can't sell that tonight. I'm like, really? You can't sell fucking beer tonight because there's a concert? Yeah, that's exactly right, sir. I was like, okay. Well, what do you got? Do you have any IPAs? No, we don't. Let me look at your cans. Well, there's only select cans I can sell you. I'm like, this is fucked up. And I said, dude, this is an abomination. How can you tell people what they can drink if you have other options available? Why is it? He goes, dude, I just work here. So he's like, don't get me started, motherfucker. So, you know, I have to settle for a shitty fucking Dos Equis or something like that. And then I said, okay, kid, let's get something to eat. She gets a margarita. They got a margarita machine. And I go to this girl. I said, hey, where's the restaurant? We're gonna go eat in the restaurant. She goes, well, there isn't one. I was like, really? She goes, yeah. I said, well, where do you order food? She goes, well, go in this little corridor here, and there's a list of items you can order. I was like, all right, fine. So the list of items I had choices from was a pretzel with beer cheese for like $15. Brisket nachos for $18 and a corn dog for about $15. That's it. But if I was VIP, I could have got a burger. But no, The peasants won't be served. That kind of food. Fuck you. All right, before we go any further, I'm pissed off. I need something aggressive. Why don't we do something aggressive? How about some brand new Arch Enemy? Let's do it. That helped illuminate the path by Arch Enemy. I was illuminating a path to leave. No, it wasn't that bad, but seriously, if you're not set up for a show, don't put one on, and don't put restrictions on the peasant GA public out there in the VIP. I get the VIP experience. Yeah, they paid to sit on the lawn and have you serve them. That's all it is. Why is the kitchen closed to everyone else? For the people that didn't pay an exorbitant amount to sit on the fucking lawn. Unbelievable.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. That's it. Your Majesty, you look like the piss boy. And you look like a bucket of shit. You don't understand, Your Majesty. It is God's will, sire. Except for the beauty mark and the mustache. There's a double.
God, you're right. I do look like the piss boy. All right, at the first sign of trouble, you shall be the king.
Go, immediately, sire.
That said, I bitch and moan a lot about this. But the actual, I guess, venue itself outside, again, not set up for a show, was not bad. We, of course, they have the whole area where the VIPs are. But it's if you go around there and you stand up, there was a good spot of standing about everywhere. So we were able to see. We had good seats. The sound was good. No complaints there. But still, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's set up for a show. But who am I? Had they done better on the beer and the food, I probably wouldn't have critiqued as much. But the worst part of the food part of these brisket nachos, where the munchkin was smart. She's like, I can't eat anymore. These aren't that good. I agree. They weren't that good, but I had been drinking. I'm like, fuck. I've drank, and if I drink here, I gotta eat something. So next morning, yeah, that's what happened. 4 or 5 times, I shit my fucking brains out. And the kid said she did too. So thank you, Home Run Dugout. You cleaned us both out with your shitty food. Maybe I didn't want the burger. I guarantee that fucking burger was probably $30 fucking dollars that night. Let's just raise the prices. Fuck everybody. Oh. Anyway, the next band was Lita Ford. We all know my thoughts on Lita Ford. Not a fan. In my opinion, maybe had a couple good songs. And one of them was the Ozzy one that we talked about. And, of course, she did her tribute. And it lasted a while. It lasted a while. But, to my surprise, was her band. And one individual in particular in that band, who I'm a fan of. And in my early days, as young Ragman, went to a record store signing when he was with another band, and he was super kind, super friendly, and just a great guy. And a great drummer on top of that. He had stints with the Vinnie Vincent Invasion, Nelson, and I think he's done other folk, played with other folks as well. His name's Bobby Rock. And he did a drum solo. It was really good. So I tell you what, you get a pass, Lita. No more ragging on you because you didn't sound well. And the guy that was singing with you was not hitting the notes very well when you did Close Your Eyes Forever. That was not very good. No offense. But anyway, let's play some Bobby Rock with Vinnie Vincent Invasion. How about Boys Are Gonna Rock? Let's do it. Love me some BVI. I wish Vinny could get his shit together and put something out again. And maybe do a tour or something. A lot of these musicians from back in that era are getting so old that it's kind of hard to get out and tour. Especially a guy like Vinny that's been out of the spotlight for so long and had so many issues. Personality-wise and canceling shit and stuff like that. So last footage I saw, unfortunately the guy couldn't play anymore. So, I don't know. That early stuff was great. I loved it. You can ask anybody that knew me back in the day. BVI was my band, for sure. But anyway, great seeing Bobby. I guess back to Lita real quick. It was interesting seeing her. I've seen her a few times. And again, I'm not a fan. I thought she was hot in the 80s, you know, with the Kiss Me Deadly stuff. But other than that, just I'm not a real big fan of her music. I think she's a cool chick. I just don't know. I've never interviewed her. Never really had, you know, a desire. You know, just because, you know, there's no fandom there. But anyway, it was interesting to me that, you know, she's touted as such a great guitar player. And she wasn't playing some of the solos live. She had another guy playing. So I'm not sure if she's struggling like, you know, like a Jakey Lee. Not that her stuff was that complicated. But I don't know if she's struggling with, like, arthritis or whatever. I mean, I do a little bit, too. I don't play guitar. I just jerk up. Oh! So, yeah, the guy was okay. He wasn't bad. But another thing I noticed is she was doing covers. And I'm thinking, somebody that's been around since the late 80s. Why are you doing covers? Unless you just, your old material just doesn't stand up. And again, I mean, Lita Ford's living off two hits. Let's be honest. Maybe, I mean, she had the Runaways stuff too, which she played Cherry Bomb too, of course. But I don't know. I don't get some of these bands that have been around for so long and have an extensive catalog. Yeah, they're going to play their hits, but you had other good stuff, or a lot of these bands did, and they choose to play a fucking cover. It's like, if I want to see a cover band, I'll pay $10 to get in the door, or sometimes it's free. I don't need a national artist and go see them play covers, unless it was on a record and they made a hit out of it or whatever. That's different. So anyway, leaving Lita, the headliner, Warrant. Again, billed as celebrating 35 years of Cherry Pie. I didn't read the fine print. This was another seller for me to go to this show. I'm like, oh, fuck. They're going to do Cherry Pie in its entirety. 99% of the time, if a band goes out and says, we're going to celebrate this album, you just assume they're going to play the full record. Right? I mean, that's what I think. That's what I thought. I'm like, all right, here we go. And I started listening to Cherry Pie during the day. It's like, God, there's some good songs on this record. And Warrant was one of those bands, those hair bands that came out with Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinkin' Rich, and then follows up with Cherry Pie, and then Doggy Dog. And they had like three really good records. But they got heavier with every record. You know, I like that about Warrant. And I, you know, I listened to their stuff when they went a little grungy. And, you know, after Janie got kicked out, they had the thing with Jamie St. James from Black and Blue. And then Janie, back in the band, gets kicked out again, passes away. They get Robert Mason. And some of the stuff they've done with Mason's really good, too. But I got to say, the set list, I want to say it's the same set list I saw about 5 or 10 years ago. They did not play Cherry Pie in its entirety.
What the fuck?
And I was pretty bummed out because I really wanted to hear this song, Mr. Rainmaker. Let's do it. What a great tune, and what a great show it could have been had they played Cherry Pie in its entirety. I mean, does that take up the whole set and you can't play Heaven and Sometimes She Cries? I don't know. All in all, they sounded good. Mason's voice was a little crackly on a few songs, but again, the guy's getting up there too. But good show. I mean, Warrant's pretty solid every time, but that said, I don't want to see the same set list that I saw 5, 6 years ago. I want to see something different. I wanted to see Cherry Pie in its entirety. That's what I wanted. And I was kind of bummed out. Jerry Dixon wasn't there. He was absent. And I've seen some videos. They did a video, like, it's been on fucking Instagram for like months about this show. They've been promoting it quite a bit. And it's Robert Mason and some guy. I don't know who the fuck he is. He's looks like he wants to be Johnny Depp or something. And I was like, I don't even know who this guy is, but whatever. I'm figuring he's probably filling in from Jerry. Because I guess Jerry doesn't tour anymore. I don't know. But they're not putting out any new music either, but Jerry is listed as still in the band. So the bass player on board was Robbie Crane, who is kind of a whore. That guy plays with a lot of people. He's with Rat. He played with Vince Neil back in the day. I guess he's good enough that people hire him and bring him on. So, all in all, not a bad show, not a great show, but it's one of those shows where I'm like, you know what, I'm done. Warrant, that was my last time I'm going to go see you. If you do something really special, maybe, but I'm officially checking out. Check, please. So, one thing I want to bring, we're talking about a bunch of old school bands here. And there's a band I loved back in the day. And I saw that they had a brand new song out. I was like, who the fuck's in this band right now? I knew one guy's name, maybe two back in the day, but one not guy now, a guy named Hammy. Or Jamie. I don't know what it is. But the band's called Heavy Pettin'. And they came out in the early 80s around the same time as Def, or actually a little bit after Def Leppard, but they were supposed to be the next Def Leppard. But unfortunately, it didn't work out for them. Their debut record was fucking amazing. The second record was so polished. It's that age-old thing where we talk about with bands like Rough Cut, King Cobra, where you come out with this edgy record, Icon. And then the second one, the record company's like, no, we need a hit. This style's going to be big. We need a hit. And the band basically gets a makeover, and it fucking destroyed them. Several bands. So sad. But this new song's not bad. This one's called Rock Generation. Let's do it. Heavy Pettin', tried to do some research on them, and there's nothing. They do have an Instagram page, and just talks about that they've been playing around, so I had no idea. So, welcome back, boys. Hope you make it to Texas. I saw where they played the Whiskey in Hollywood, so they're doing some dates in the States. For all I know, they're living in the States. I have no idea. This caught me by surprise. I just saw it. I was like, wow, is that new? So, anyway, I'm parched, Mr. G. Excited about this one tonight. This one's called Bleat Le Art. All right, let's do this. John, you okay?
Yes, he's out. Just need to relax for a couple minutes.
All right, clean up. Do your thing. Get ready. This could be a four. All right, got a good one tonight. Let me pour it in a glass before I pour it all over the table. I do know this is from Baba Brewhouse. I feature a lot of their beers on the show. A friend of mine gave me this and said, hey, save it for a few weeks and then tap it. You'll love it, I promise you. So this one's called Bleat L'Art. It's a triple IPA. It's pretty cool. It's got a guy with, I don't know what he's doing. He's got suitcases. And then there's a sheep just saying, I don't know what's going on. I'm just hanging back here. Let's see. It is 10% ABV. Hey, first beer of the day. Forget about it. Can's kind of cool. It's got like a rustic, almost like an old movie cover or something like that. So anyway, let's look at the beer. Oh, gold, baby. Citrusy looking, kind of a mix of orange and pineapple juice. Kind of an orange golden. Oh, it's beautiful. And the monkey lamp is not looking through this thing. It's too hazy, I'd say. I can't get through that. So anyway, appearance is beautiful as always. I got my lacing on the glass a little bit of retention. Not a lot, a little. Let me do my aroma check. Oh, wow. It smells amazing. Rich, creamy, juicy, citrusy. Let me clink myself. Oh, fuck. That's amazing. This is a fucking solid triple. I ain't kidding. I ain't lying. One more drink. John, you know what to do. All right. So before we get into any more, let's play a little more music. We played a lot tonight, and I'm enjoying it. I hope you are, too. I didn't mean to yell in your ear. I'm excited over here. So I found this one tonight, and I got to say, it was really cool tonight. I get on YouTube and just check out new music. And the last few times I've tried to get on, it's either these algorithms fuck me up, or there's just no new music coming out. And I'm like, God, what is fucking going on? Tonight, I found like 5-6 songs. I'm like, oh, fuck, I love every one of these. So, this is a newer band. I played them on the show before. The band is called The Devil Wears Prada. There was a movie named after this band. Okay. And the movie came out first, I think. The song is called That Same Place Where the Flowers Never Grow. I really dig this. Hope you do, too. Let's do it.
But if I got everything I wanted, maybe then I'd finally be happy.
Up a little bit tonight with playing some newer stuff mixed with these old classics. That's what's great about my show, at least I think. I like mixing it up, and I say this all the time, trying to mix in new music so you get a little bit familiar with what's going on, newer bands opposed to just the old classic stuff. And you know Ragman, since I've been out on my own, still with Genghis, we just don't do as much. I've really expanded my, I guess, musical taste into these newer genres of rock and metal and stuff like that. So, an article I wanted to bring up tonight, which I find fucking ludicrous. So I'm not sure if you Mudvayne fans out there or not. I was super excited when they got back together and they were on that Megadeth tour a year or so ago. Fuck, I think it was, I forget who all was on the bill, but it was all, that's what it was. It was All That Remains, Mudvayne, and Megadeth. All That Remains killed. They were awesome. Really good. And then Mudvayne came on. I'm like, here we go. And they were horrible. Chad Gray's voice is shredded. He sounded horrible. Actually, you can hear it in the new song. I tell you what, let's check out the new song, and I got to tell you what's going on with Mudvayne, and see if you're ready to throw down your hard-earned coin for this special invitation by the band.
Let's do it.
I'm not sure if you liked that. I can't say I did. That one's called Hurt People, Hurt People by Mudvayne. And as you can hear, Chad Gray's voice is shredded. The beauty of Chad Gray back in the day, post the first record, which he sounded really good on. Very heavy record, but then they got to the second album. He starts singing a little bit more clean, and you're like, oh, wow. And the musicianship of the band went to a new level. I never forget the time that Genghis and I saw him. I can't remember if it was on like an Ozfest or just one of these festivals that came through when those were kind of popular. But man, we were just mesmerized. So like, fucking A, especially the bass player guy. He just like, fuck, we couldn't take our eyes off him. The guy was just weird looking to begin with. And then no offense to him with the looks, but he was just a monster on that fucking bass. And we were just like freaked out of his virtuosity. What a great bass player. So anyway, again, not a big fan, and then really got turned off when I saw him live. But apparently they've got a new tour coming up. And I want to talk a little bit about it, because I thought, this is fucking crazy. So, Mudvayne's on tour. It's the 25th anniversary of their debut record. And if you want to pay $3,000, you can get the VIP treatment. Chad Gray is calling it the VIP makeup experience. So you're going to hang out with Chad Gray for $3,000. I tell you what, you can hang out with Ragman for a couple hours for a couple $100 and some beer. How about that? Oh, no, just buy me free beer. And you can hang out with me, no problem. You can put on your own makeup. I'll doll you up. So anyway, let's see what this $3,000 gets us. Oh, wow. Mudvayne's makeup experience includes a prosthetic bullet hole. Wow, you can get a fake bullet hole if you want this. Wow. All right, here we go. For $3,000, fans will get $3,000. Two general admission tickets to the show. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. For $3,000, I thought I might get front row, but no, I want that GA ticket. A 1-hour backstage hang with Chad Gray. while his makeup is being completed for that night's show. A prosthetic bullet hole similar to what appears on Chad's head while he's on stage. Wow, I could take that home. Show mom. Custom mud bay necklace. Yeah, I'm not going to wear that. Okay, okay. I don't even know why that's funny.
I'd give you a pearl necklace for that $10.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would.
She really upset me at me. I didn't give her what she likes. I don't know what to tell her. Don't know what to say. Everything got funky last night. She was really bummed.
Assigned set list. Oh, I gotta have that too. Assigned 8x10 photo of Gray. A photo of you and Gray in early entry to the show. Why do you need early entry? I don't know. Now, this isn't a quick grip and grin. Take your signed photo and go. Gray said, you know, hey, I'm gonna hang with you for a whole hour. Oh my God, dude. The website listing the package says a portion of the proceeds from VIP sales will go to Fuck Cancer Organization. So I guess it's a pro-cancer organization. Which, okay, that's cool. I'm good with that. But $3,000, come on. That's fucking ridiculous. Especially for a band that had been around for a while and they're not good anymore. I don't know. Why do people pluck down their hard earn money to pay for this shit? I don't know, to each his own. I'm not gonna do it. I'm sure anyone I know will not do it. But hey, if you do it, you enjoy it, good for you. Tell me how it was, because I don't care. And I'm meeting Genghis for lunch. We're doing a lunch thing. We're talking about some upcoming stuff we got for you guys. And I hear this like 80s hard rock thing going on. It's like, who the fuck is that? It was kind of cool. It's not great, kind of cheesy. And we've been playing a bunch of older school stuff tonight, so I thought, hey, why don't we just throw this in? So I'm not sure. We've talked about this on the show ad nauseum about Shazam, and you're somewhere, you hear a song, and you're like, oh wow, what is that? And that's kind of cool. So I do it a lot. And I found this band called Wanted. And the song is called Chained to Your Love. Let's check it out. Let me know what you think.
Chained to your love, I'm never gonna give.
What'd you think of that? I have a confession to make. I'm a little disappointed myself because I didn't do my homework before I played that song. So the band Wanted is not from the 80s, not from the 90s, but from 2021. They've been around 4 years. It's pretty cool. Look at their page here. One is a band with the distinct goal of resurrecting traditional, loud, melodic heavy metal that ruled the airwaves throughout the 80s. The band's main influences are Rat Dog and Van Halen. One is from Leonard, Michigan? I'm not even sure what that is. But I gotta say, it's pretty crazy. Oh, wow, it says the band was reviewed in Metal Forces magazine. I had no idea Metal Forces was still been around. Holy shit. And this is their second record, so good on these guys, man. I might try to get them on the show. I was shocked because you look at a picture of them, you're thinking some metal band from 1980-something. So I was like, fuck, I don't know if I'll even find anything on these guys. They may have been a one-hit wonder, and I didn't know that hit. So anyway, I'm going to close the show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it tonight. Hope you enjoyed all the music, and I hope you liked Wanted. Again, I'm going to reach out, see if I can talk to these people. Could be fun. But anyway, guys, I want to thank you for listening every week. I want to thank you for your comments when you send them. And before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big holds up.
Keep searching for a hidden light, a fractured heart.